chosen to be the search team has been busy since October, meeting weekly and thoughtfully and prayerfully reviewing profiles from candidates. We have received a total of 28 profiles. Out of those, we have interviewed 9 people. Out of those, 4 have moved to a second interview, and we finished those yesterday. And out of the 4, in the next 2 days, we should be able to send a white smoke signal to let you know that we have chosen, or actually the Holy Spirit have told us, who is the next pastor for our congregation. But I have to make sure that I let you know that Lisa said, you know, that hopefully it will be longevity, but not supremacy. So when you see the white smoke coming, it is for someone that is really going to come as a servant leader. And so we have really, really appreciated the prayers from the prayer group and for the prayers that you have done for each one of us. Believe us, it really has been very helpful. So thank you, and please pray even more strongly and as much as you can today, so and send that our way, you know, all that is strength and inspiration, so that we can bring to you the good news of who is going to lead us to the next phase of the UCC, FCC, all of those. Thank you.
That is wonderful news. So let us move on into our worship with the reading of the Psalms. This is from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Jesus said, I am the light. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And Jesus calls us to not just look at that light, but to be the light, and to be the light that goes out into the world. And so we light this candle, this Christ light, to remind us that Christ is here with us. Please join your hearts with mine as I pray the search team prayer. This is a prayer that was written by a team of people in the church and has been prayed every day for our search team. It means so much to so many that the Holy Spirit is a part of this process with us. Holy One, source of all life and love, sustainer of all that is and will be, with confidence in your abiding presence, we offer our imperfect selves. We place our open hearts and minds before you. Imbue us with your spirit to lead us beyond judgment, beyond fear, beyond the limits of our expectations and understanding. Help us to discern your guidance with trust, patience, and a willingness to embrace new horizons. We pray these things with gratitude for your extravagant love and light that show us the way. Amen. And now would you please join me in the responsive call to celebration? God created our inmost beings. We praise God because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Come, worship the God who said, we will come before our God. Please rise in body or spirit as we sing hymn number 6, Bring Many Names. the joyful sounds of worship. I love it. Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, God, with a mother's heart, you gather us as your children. You comfort and hold us in your warm embrace. When we hurt, your arms enfold us. When we are afraid, your wings protect us. When we are hungry, you feed us with the bread of life. God, with a mother's heart, your love surrounds and supports us in good times and tough, in the midst of joy and pain, always and everywhere. You will never leave nor abandon us. God, eternal and loving one, God, with a mother's heart, we thank you this day for being part of your family. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us greet one another with the passing of the peace.
Peace and fears are still and striving sea.
children may be dismissed for godly play and connect.
Friends, God has shown us the meaning of generosity and the beautiful diversity of creation and the overflowing love of Jesus Christ and in the never-ending gift of the Holy Spirit. So let us rejoice now in what we have been given and what is ours to give as we receive this morning's offer.
And let us pray together. Mothering God, we give you these gifts today, knowing that you are the creator of all gifts. As our mother in heaven, you provide for us, care for us, and call us to be our best selves. As we have been abundantly provided for, so we give abundantly to the work of the church, the care of those who are poor. Accept these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it's a delight to be with you again. I want to celebrate First Church Natick. I want to celebrate the music ministry. I want to celebrate a fabulous tech team which faces every complication and challenge. And I want to celebrate everyone who figured out how to make church happen downstairs. Every chair moved, every hymn book stacked up. It's a lovely thing to continue worship while you're doing some wonderful work in the sanctuary upstairs over these times. I have to say, I've been here as your guest preacher so often that I'm feeling quite at home. So if you don't mind me claiming you as one of my churches, I would love that. Also to celebrate the search team, not only the tremendous work and progress that's happening, but the circle of prayer that you have created around the search team. It's a blessing indeed to be part of First Church Natick. I wanted to share with you two scriptures this morning. One is from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 7 to 13, and it goes like this. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came upon her, she delivered a son. Who has heard of such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be delivered in one moment? Yet as soon as Zion went into labor, she delivered her children. Shall I open the womb and not deliver, says the Lord? Shall I, who deliver, shut the womb, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem, all you who love her. Rejoice with her, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied at her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I shall extend a river of prosperity to her, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream, and you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. For as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And the second telling this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 25 to 27. And Jesus is speaking. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, a city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is before you, desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Here ends the telling of God's blessed word. Thanks be to God. Would you be so kind to join me in prayer? Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And so I was teaching confirmation class. And one of my favorite parts about that is playing with metaphors for God. Once upon a time, the only way people understood God was a heavenly father on a throne in the sky with a long beard. And yet, as kids come to learn more and more about the Christian faith, we like to expand those metaphors and play with images and think about what is God like. What does God do? How does God move among us? How might we describe the divinity of God, the power and presence? And so I'm teaching this idea, and I'm looking at blank faces. Has anybody ever been a teacher? And finally, several classes in, one of the kids says, oh, wait. I get it. You mean like we have to describe a God who is indescribable? And I said, exactly. He said, well, that doesn't make sense. But we kept trying to describe a God who is indescribable. We kept coming up with metaphors that fit and lacked. We kept coming up with maybe some similes that might lean into what God is and then doesn't. We continued in this holy paradox. And by the time these kids wrote their credo and were able to present it. And this, and Matt put into his credo, so what we're doing is describing a God who is indescribable. There was not only a drive to use all of the human mind, thinking, imagination, and spirit to describe God, but a humility. Knowing that whatever description was applied would somehow fall short because the divinity is so much more than we can say, which is why we sing. those in the choir know, there's something that happens in singing those praises of God that somehow fits more than mere words. As some of us engage in social justice work because there's ways that action fits a sense of prayer and worship more than words. And I am so delighted about how it is that God is as simple as a story from the gospel and as complex that I could never wrap my mind around it. I don't know, maybe in eternity we get a big, better glimpse. I don't know. But it leads me into the kind of pattern and path where I am always wanting to grow in my understanding of God. Honestly, that's why I love this triune God, because there's no way to wrap our minds around three being one. It's not mathematically accurate, but it's spiritually accurate, because there's always one part of the person of God that I can lean more into. We've, in the season of Eastertide and having the sense of the resurrected Christ, and next Sunday we'll move into Pentecost, a season of the Holy Spirit. And so by following through the liturgical seasons, the church itself offers you a structure and inspiration to learn more and more about God. Traditionally, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, more contemporarily, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, whatever language you want to try to explore. And of course, any metaphor has its shortfalls. Because while we may use a metaphor to somehow touch the power of God, to describe it or define it or explain it or somehow connect to it, any metaphor we use is limited by the ways we've had it on earth. So, for example, this metaphor of God as mother, what might it be like to consider more than human? Well, there was construction a number of years ago at the JFK Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. And it was springtime, and there was, as with construction projects in sanctuaries or schools of government, there might be some debris left around. And so nobody noticed the nest that had been built under the shelter of some of these boards back behind this one window and stone wall, until all five eggs hatched and five ducklings followed their mother out of the nest across campus to the Charles River. Up she waddles with quite a bit of confidence, and then she gets to what you might know as Memorial Drive. Zoom, 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 zoom. Four traffics of high-speed cars. I have a friend who had moved here from Indiana, and she was on Memorial Drive one time. There's a traffic light, and the light turned yellow, and so she stopped, and she was rear-ended. Horrified. She got out of her car. You know who hit her? It was a police cruiser. And the police officer came to her and say, "Why would you stop on a yellow? This is Memorial Drive in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Zoom, 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 zoom. Not stopping for yellow lights, certainly not stopping for ducklings." Well, a crowd begins to gather because one of the construction workers has called the other over. And there's this duck, and she needs to not walk into traffic, and they don't know what to do. And so someone decides to pick her up, and there is pecking and quacking and flapping of wings, and this is not going to happen. She squirms out of the way. What they really need is that officer-friendly, remember the Make Way for Ducklings book, you know, where he can come and, but they didn't have that in Harvard Square in Cambridge, so they called Animal Control, who surprisingly were there right away and came with a plan, heavy gloves and a big box, and the crowd, by now it was a crowd of students and faculty and construction workers and passersby, expected this animal control officer to figure out how to lift up this duck. But no, he had this box, and he managed to put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ducklings in the box, picked it up. The construction workers with their orange vests stopped traffic on either side, and you walked with the box across four lanes of traffic with a furious mother duck quacking behind him and following and flapping her wings. He goes across Memorial Drive, down that hill of grass to the edge of the river, and very carefully sets down the box, tipping it on its side. And that mother duck waddles over, and she goes into the box and checks 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, nudges them all out. She goes into the water and sails down the Charles River with five little ducklings in a row behind her, free at last. How is it that God is protective, guiding, in moments of seeming not to be making it work, somehow present there, loving through all? How is it that we might understand God with some new stories, in some new ways? I've actually been thinking about these kinds of ideas for quite some time, and when I was first in ministry, what was called feminist liberation theology was all the rage, on the heels of the liberation theology of Oscar Romero and others in Central America. And so I thought, as a young minister, it would be a good idea to preach some of these ideas to the church. And so I did. And I have to say, if I do say so myself, my ideas were well-founded. And I did all of the scholarship and the exegetical work on the scripture and put the language together and delivered it well. And at the end of the service, I went to the back and shook hands. And people said things like, "Nice talk, Pastor." So I thought it went well, until Monday morning, there was a knock on my office door, and Bob came in. I said, "Good morning, Bob," and we exchanged pleasantries, and I said, so what can I do for you?" And Bob said, "Well, Reverend Maybeck, you know I've been in this church my whole life." I said, "Yeah, I know. I was baptized. I was confirmed in this church. I was married in this church twice. I was church school superintendent when we had 350 children in the Sunday school. And I've seen ministers come. I've seen ministers go. And I have never in all of my time in this church heard that kind of a sermon. I mean, with all due respect, God as mother?" And he pulled out his Bible and said, "Right here in the Hebrew scriptures, it says, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And so I pulled out my Bible and showed him the scripture that you heard me tell, that beautiful passage from Isaiah where in poetry, God is mother, God is midwife. There's a way of this nurturing and nourishing. And he said, "Well, let's get into the New Testament." And he found the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, our Father who art in heaven." And I turned to Matthew 23 and showed him where Jesus imagines himself as a mother hen gathering her brood under her wings. And as these conversations with scripture tend to go, we got nowhere. And finally, in exasperation, he said, "Oh, come on, you don't expect me to pray to my heavenly mother in the sky, do you?" And I said, "I dare you." You see, I knew two things about Bob. One was that he was a very, very faithful Christian who spent time in prayer and devotion every day. The other thing I knew about him, he would never back down from a dare. I said, "I dare you to pray to your heavenly mother every day for 2 weeks and then come back here, and we'll have another conversation. Well, he said, I never back down from a dare. It's a deal. I'll be back here in 2 weeks, and off he went. Closed the door, went to my desk, picked up the phone, and called the associate conference minister to see what it would take to update my profile to go to another church. Well, it was actually less than 2 weeks later that I heard again, uh-oh, it's Bob. He came in, and I'm a little nervous, and sat down, and, you know, I'm a new minister with not a whole lot of experience, but I take a breath and welcome him in, and he starts the same story. Reverend Maybeck, I've been in this church my whole life. I said, I know, Bob. No, you need to know, I was baptized here. I was confirmed here. I was married here twice. I was church school superintendent when we had 575 children in the Sunday school. And I've seen ministers come and I've seen ministers go. And in all my time in this church, I have never had a pastor who challenged me in such a way to make a positive difference in my prayer life. And I said, what? Well, you know I don't back down from a dare. I said, I know that, Bob. I felt silly. It just seemed silly to pray to Mother. But I decided to try it. Every morning I sat down in that chair in the corner of my study, and after I read my scriptures, I prayed to God, the Heavenly Mother. It was very silly, but I did it day and day and day until one day I'm praying to God and I can smell this rose water. I remember when I was a little boy and I would sit in my grandmother's lap out on the porch when that, you know, when the color of the sky goes from blue to that midnight blue before it gets. I remember leaning against her, and I remember that scent of rose water and that sense of warm arms around me. And I was sitting in prayer in my home, embraced by this motherly God that was so soft and nourishing and old, so older than time, and yet knew me. So, I don't have words for it. But I'm really glad the search team called you to be the pastor of this church. And I want to thank you. And I said, oh, no, Bob, I want to thank you. And then together we prayed a prayer to the Divine Parent, the Heavenly Mother, who blesses us every day. Have an opportunity as the people of God to gather together in prayer. I learned last night a colleague of mine had passed. I would ask you to join me in celebrating the life of Reverend Gretchen Switzer. And, the husband she left behind is the Reverend David Switzer, both of them United Church of Christ clergy who had their ministry in the Central Association. So we remember the Switzer family. And I'd also like you to pray for the family of former colleague and dear friend Bill Munsert. Bill retired last May and unexpectedly passed away this week at 66. And Janet would ask you to pray for the family and friends of Bill. And do we have other concerns or celebrations to share with the church at this time? Yes. We celebrate Vince's life and praise God that Dee Dee and family were able to be at his funeral. And we also, I'm missing one, the wedding. We celebrate wedding that family can gather again, and we celebrate graduation. And a young woman who's lost her father has her uncle and other family gathering around. And all of that in 1 week. So we praise God for those celebrations of life as well as those celebrations of accomplishments in life as we move through graduations, weddings, funerals, always with God's love. Thank you, Randall. Other celebrations or concerns this morning? We celebrate Linda's life, and we would ask you to pray for her family in this time of sorrow. Thank you, Sarah. Other celebrations or concerns this morning to share with the church? You can put them online on Facebook as well, I think. Let us gather together these prayers, spoken and written, and those that are in our hearts. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your presence here with us. We give you thanks for the season of graduation, so many rejoicing in the academic accomplishments and seeking a bright future. We pray for the blessings of community celebrations, one happening in our parking lot this afternoon. We give you thanks for confirmands and for connection leaders and teachers, and for all of the youngsters in our church and community. We give you thanks for family connections and for travel to find a way to be together again. And Lord, we pray for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. We would ask you to be present in those funerals, memorial services, graveside prayers, and celebrations of life, and such a way that the spirit would sparkle with memory. We would ask you to hold close those who grieve, those who feel devastated, who are in disbelief. Carry them when they are too tired to walk. Let us be the ones to speak a word of hope, to welcome for a cup of coffee or tea, to walk alongside one who is in sorrow. We give you thanks for your promise of resurrection. We give you thanks for being a Lord who always calls us forward to look to the dawning day, to bring forth a new way of being. We pray for those who may be struggling with addiction or alcoholism. We pray for those who are nurses and doctors and providing health care. And for those who are providing mental health care, we ask that you would place a healing hand on any who are struggling with depression or anxiety or bipolar disorder or schizophrenia. Show us how to be the kind of welcoming community, to be a place of safety and solace and encouragement and healing for those who may be broken in mind or spirit or body. We give you thanks for the gift of the resurrected Lord in this season of Eastertide. And we pray that you would whisper a word to each one of us, that this week we might go forth to bring your light into the shadows and to serve in a way that would please you, in a way that your love, which we've received in our hearts, might be shared with another in need of that love and faith. Use us as your witnesses, Lord. We pray all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray together. Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us sing together, "I was there to hear your burning cry."
Hands of God hold you in your weakness. May the arms of God comfort you in your sorrow. May the hands of God release you in your strength. And may the arms of God embrace you in your joy. Go in peace. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.